Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. Persons listening to this show are exposed to the truth. This has proved to be deeply disturbing to liberals, sometimes causing mental disorientation and distraction. If you are a liberal and operating heavy equipment or are engaged in potentially life-threatening activity, be forewarned. Pastor Scheidbach is about to make you mad. Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage. $40 per couple or $20 a seat, and you cannot get a meal like a Lou Silva of Habit Wired succulent tri-tip dinner followed by delicious dessert. It includes your drinks and presented by the most gracious servers in Santa Maria that'll be waiting your table. And then add to that one chance per ticket to win this year's God and Gun Cleaners Home Defense Kit, which includes a fine leather-bound Bible, the spiritual sword of the spirit, and a 12-gauge Mossberg 8-load shotgun with pistol grip. That's the sword Jesus instructed his disciples to keep during his absence. Now, this is easily a value of well over $1,000. Can it get any better? Well, you bet it can. Add to all of this a live performance of the Brain Massage Show. There's no event like this anywhere. We have folks come to this event all the way from as far north as American Canyon. That's up around the Bay Area. I mean, there's really nothing like this available, and it comes around one time a year. Call today to reserve your seat at this year's Lights On Banquet, November 13, at the Lighthouse. Seats are limited. Don't miss out. Consider this your personal invitation from the Brain Masseur. I truly hope to see you there. Call 1-888-770-8000 and let us know how many seats you want to reserve for this year's Lights On Banquet. Or, of course, you can go to our website at www.santamarialighthouse.org and from the resources menu, select the Lights On Banquet and then complete the registration form. All right, my friends, it is time for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
The USS Ronald Reagan carrier, with its attack group conducting exercises with South Korea, were visited, let's say, by a couple of Su-24 Russian fighter jets recently. And one of them buzzed the ship. The carrier scrambled four interceptor fighter jets to escort the planes away from the carrier. Of course, all of this is played down as nothing out of the ordinary, and the ship captain reported that the incident was a safe interaction with Russian fighter jets. And then not too long ago, a Russian spy ship was spotted near Kings Bay, Georgia, on its way to Cuba. Quote, the sophisticated ship can cut undersea cables and other sensors. The U.S. has been monitoring the ship since satellites caught it on radar last month. But as of yesterday, the ship is only 300 miles away from the United States, end quote. Now, when the Navy was asked about this, a spokesperson said, quote, they're operating in international waters just like we do, end quote. But this particular ship is of concern because of its ability to neutralize our ability to spot Russian forces. Quote, according to Russian media, the vessel can also blast the air with massive electronic noise to jam communications and confuse enemy sensors. It makes it almost impossible for the enemy to locate Russian forces, end quote. And then in another article, I read that this sort of, quote, end quote, interaction between United States and Russian military was common during the Cold War. But then after the wall came down, these engagements stopped until Putin came along and reinstated the policy and has initiated an increased number of such interactions corresponding to increased tensions that are developing between Russia and the United States over the Ukraine and more recently over Syria. And if these developments aren't enough to concern us, then there's this minor matter of an ISIS camp that's operating 8 miles from the United States. Now, we've known for a long time that Hezbollah is active across our border with Mexico. And now we have an ISIS camp operating 8 miles from our border in Mexico. With our porous borders policy, it's certain that terrorists have been and continue to creep across the border. And no doubt they're setting up sleeper cells in America. You understand that 9/11 was planned, some say 5 years or so before, but at least a few years. in advance with sleeper terrorists operating here in the United States making preparations for that attack? Obama's open border policy is making us vulnerable to a major terrorist attack. I mean, a 9/11 on steroids, and it's compromising our economic security as well. Not to mention the overall cultural impact, a sort of Balkanization of America, with large groups coming in unwilling to assimilate into American culture. And then the political ramifications also, with hordes coming into the population who don't believe in the American way, and who are, for the most part, socialists in their political orientation. Serious developments in our relationships with Russia and other countries, and this issue of controlling our borders, are among the most vital issues that we face today. However, the first question in this debate, pitched by Quintanilla, I guess is how you pronounce his name, when he said, quote, "This series of debates is essentially a job interview with the American people. And in any job interview, you get asked, what's your biggest weakness? So in 30 seconds, without telling us that you try too hard or that you're a perfectionist," and so on. Excuse me, of course, not one of these candidates took that stupid question seriously, and they should not. Hey, I've conducted, 100 or more job interviews where I was hiring someone. I never asked that asinine question. Now, don't get me wrong. I know it's asked, and I understand that in an honest interview, a question like that might give you some insight into whether that candidate has a sense of his or her own limitations. But it's also the least significant question you can ask a job candidate. I mean, it's a great question to ask his last employer. You know, in what areas do you believe this employee could improve? Something like that. I thought Huckabee's answer was the best. Ask my wife. It revealed how stupid and lame the question is in the first place. I mean, imagine beginning a debate for president by getting the candidates to talk about what's wrong with them. How dumb is that? Now, I'll tell you this. Nobody I know of begins a job interview with that kind of a question. And I know a lot of employers, including myself, who won't bother with that question, not to the interviewee. I think it's a bunch of subjective nonsense. And if you're hiring somebody, you're interested in their qualifications to do the job. You know, not whether they struggle with some personal human imperfections, but nonsense. And I was asked this, and I answered it something like, you know, I'll tell you what, if you want to know about whatever personal imperfections I have noticed in my life that need improvement, and this is important to you and your decision to hire me, well, then I think I need to know about your personal imperfections before I decide whether or not I want to work for you. Grin. So, you first. Anyway, if you refine the question more particularly to the specific job, you know, if you say, look, there are certain skills necessary for this job. Do you find yourself weak in any of these skills? I mean, and, you know, what are you doing about improving yourself in those areas and so on? And then I'd say that would be more productive. But that's the way they got started in this debate. In other words, let's put the candidates on the defensive immediately, right? That's what it was about. Come on. Let's make them self-conscious. Let's hopefully get them telling American people what's wrong with them. It was the worst first question I've ever heard in any debate, unless the objective was to punch the candidates in the nose at the beginning of the fight. Well, it failed. Our candidate stood up to this foolishness and batted it away like an annoying fly. Good for them. CNBC wants to talk about whether Trump is a comic book candidate. Tried to bait Kasich into attacking his fellow candidates there on the stage as crazies. You know, and then joining the GOP establishment and doing their work, carrying their water for them by trying to undermine Rubio with an inside pitch, you know, wait your turn. And then try to chastise him for running for president while serving as senator. Something they never criticized Obama for doing. And asking him if he hates his job? What kind of stupid question is that? And so what if he does? I mean, you understand what I'm trying to say here? It has nothing to do with anything except trying to embarrass or undermine the candidate. And then turning on the GOP establishment candidate, Jeb, and asking him, you know, why is he having difficulty in his campaign? What does that have to do with anything? Now, hold on. I'll get to the point of all this in a moment. You know, actually, Cruz will help me make short work of setting the stage for this brilliant insight I'm going to throw at you in a moment. When he was asked a setup question, a question that was not a question, but a statement by the liberal progressive moderators who really hate all of these candidates. I mean, so far as their policies are concerned. I mean, talk about being thrown to the lions, you know. Cruz was asked whether, since he objects to that deal that's being pushed through by GOP defectors working with the economic wrecking ball called Obama's DNC, conducting their own DNC. dilation and curettage, invading the womb of Lady Liberty to abort freedom, I think about that one, but saying that since Cruz objects to surgically aborting any hope for economic recovery with this stupid budget deal, does that mean Cruz was not the kind of problem solver American voters want, quote unquote? You see what I mean? These questions aren't questions to facilitate an opportunity for Americans to find out where these candidates stand on important issues or to learn about what solutions they are proposing to address the problems we face in this country. Oh, no. These were statements disguised as questions purposed to set the candidates in a mold of their making in the minds of the viewers. But I get ahead of myself. Cruz had enough of this nonsense, and he went off on them, and good for him. He said, you know, let me say something at the outset. The questions that have been asked so far in this debate illustrate why the American people don't trust the media. And he got some applause on that line. This is not a cage match, he went on to say. And look at the questions. Donald Trump, are you a comic book villain? Ben Carson, can you do math? John Kasich, will you insult two people over here? Marco Rubio, why don't you resign? Jeb Bush, why have your numbers fallen? End quote. Which I think shows that Cruz observed the same thing that I did in the course of that debate. These moderators were not asking questions. They were making their own statements about the candidates. They were trying to tell the viewers what they wanted them to think about these candidates. Carl Quintanilla tried to interrupt, but Cruz went on. Quote, Carl, I'm not finished yet. The contrast with a Democratic debate where every fawning question from the media was, which of you is more handsome and why? And he got some laughter for that one. And let me be clear. And then Carl attempts to, again, get Cruz to take the bait, you know, of his statement and go on the defensive against an accusation masquerading as a question. But Cruz continued on the offense. He said, quote, let me be clear. The men and women on this stage have more ideas, more experience, more common sense than every participant in the Democratic debate. And then he said this. That debate reflected a debate between the Bolsheviks and the Mensheviks. And then laughter. And he goes on to say, and nobody watching at home believed that any of the moderators had any intention of voting in a Republican primary. The questions that are being asked shouldn't be trying to get people to tear into each other. It should be, what are your substantive positions, end quote. And by the way, Cruz's statement that the differences within the Democratic Party are more like those between the Mensheviks and the Bolsheviks in Russia. I thought that was very perceptive and insightful. I don't have time to lay it all out, but the Mensheviks and the Bolsheviks were both Marxist parties. The difference was in how best to implement Marxist policies. The Bolsheviks favored revolution, and the Mensheviks favored gradually converting from capitalism into socialism. And the only thing I would add to what Cruz observed is that there are a whole lot of Mensheviks in the GOP, and that his penetrating analysis is applicable to what differentiates the socialist wing of the GOP. Listen, with their coziness with government partnering with business, that model, and or socialized business is what it is, with business leaders controlling the government and then using it as their personal piggy bank, as opposed to the DNC that wants a Bolshevik revolution to undermine the Constitution and wrench the government from Lady Liberty and put it in the hands of Lady Tyranny, a la Hillary, or Sanders for that matter. But I digress. Often journalists' questions are likened to pitches in a baseball game. If the questions are easy on the interviewee, if they are favorable to the interviewee, or they're described as lobbing softball pitches, the questions that are easily hit out of the park, you know. If the questions are difficult, challenging, probing, well, then the journalist is said to be playing hardball. Well, it's obvious that the MSM pitched softball questions to the Dems in their debate. And even on the rare occasion when they threw a couple of probing questions at them, the pitch was delivered so slow and well within the strike zone, carefully crafted to allow the respondent to get a good swing at it and a good hit to avoid embarrassment. When I analyzed how the questions in this debate were pitched, I noticed something disturbing. And I actually noticed this in the first debate, even with Fox a little bit, although admittedly not even nearly so grossly obvious as it was with the follow-up CNN debate, and now way obviously with this latest CNBC debate. These journalists did not want to give these candidates a chance to hit anything. They pitched this debate like a pitcher throws at a batter he's afraid of, wary of throwing anything across the plate for fear the batter will connect and send it over the fence. You know, when you have a man on first and second or bases loaded and an adept home run hitter approaches and then the pitcher purposely throws balls so as not to allow the batter to hit, that's what's going on here. Or in other words, every pitch was outside the strike zone and thrown that way on purpose. And that tells me that in this environment, the liberals, the progs, and so on, they know the bases are loaded against them, and they cannot afford to let the conservatives get their message out in this election cycle. They're throwing balls and not strikes because they know the hitters at the plate will send them over the fence and connect with the American people. And what is remarkable about this last debate is that in spite of the progressives' every effort to craft their questions into their own private political statements, intending them to be unfavorable to the conservative candidates especially, some of our guys adjusted their swing and their stance and connected anyway and scored several home runs. And we'll look at them when I get back from this short break.
Encounter God. The word encounter means to meet, to experience, to come face to face with, to confront. The greatest life-changing encounter in any life will be those encounters with God that make a difference. Perhaps it's been a while since you've experienced God in a vital, meaningful encounter. Renew your experience of God with a fresh encounter this year that will impact your life for spiritual growth. Or perhaps you've never experienced God and He doesn't seem real to you. You can encounter God in 2015. And when you do, you'll know that God is real. Pastor Scheidbach's series of messages, Encounter God, are delivered Sunday mornings at the Lighthouse. Call 805-347-9887 for more information. Go to santamarialighthouse.org. Lighthouse Baptist Church, 1310 West Bedarabia Road, Santa Maria. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air. Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello and welcome back. I'm Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, slinging the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. Becky and I desire the pleasure of your company Friday evening, November the 13th, at the Lighthouse to enjoy Lou Silva's of Heaven Wired succulent tri-tip dinner followed by a delicious dessert. It includes your drink, served by the most gracious servers in Santa Maria, who'll be waiting your table, Pat and Patricia of Pat's Automotive, providing the God and Gunclingers home defense kit with a 12-gauge Mossberg 8-load shotgun with pistol grip. That'll satisfy the requirement Jesus gave you to get a sword in his absence, and by the way, at a value of well over $1,000. And then the Lighthouse Baptist Church will add a fine-crafted, genuine, leather-bound Bible, the Sword of the Spirit, to complete the God and Gunclingers home defense kit for this year. All the early registration discounts are gone, I'm sorry, but it's still an awesome deal at $20 per plate, with one drawing ticket for each plate purchased. Oh, and Brother Thermos is providing another mystery prize worth hundreds of dollars, and this year we're going to present that as a separate drawing, so you get two chances to win big with each dinner purchased. Can it get any better than that? Well, let me ask you a question. Do you appreciate the Brain Massage Radio Show? Okay, all proceeds from this banquet go to the support of the Brain Massage Radio Show. It's an opportunity to help us keep the truth alive. But it gets even better. I know, I'm beginning to sound like one of those ridiculous knife commercials, you know what I mean? All this for $19.99, but wait, today it will give you 50 more knives if, and so on. But it does get even better than a great meal with great folks with two chances to win great prizes and all of that for a great cause. You also get to be involved in a live performance of a brain massage show. Everyone that comes receives a lights-on pin, and during the performance, when the brain masseur hits a sweet spot in the brain, you turn the pin light on and wave it about. Of course, applause is fine, whoops, hollers, and even some amens. It's an awesome evening, folks, and as you know, if you've ever attended one of these before, and if you have not, you really don't want to be left out. So call right away and reserve your seat for this year's Lights On Banquet, November 13th at 6:30 p.m. The number to call us, 1-888-770-8000. That's 1-888-770-8000. Or go online at www.santamarialighthouse.org. Click on the resources menu and then click on Lights On Banquet. All right, let's continue your brain massage for today. I mentioned that in spite of every effort by the MSM to pitch a walk to every candidate by purposely throwing every question outside the strike zone, hoping they'd be foolish enough to swing at air, our candidates did connect more than once, and I don't think any of them struck out. I have to admit, I thought Bush went a bit over the top with his attack on Rubio. Big mistake. Looked to me like he was flailing. Sounded like one of David's big brothers, you know, scolding the little brother and saying he was out of his league and should go home till he grows up. Well, we know how that story ended, and it wasn't good for David's scorning brother. As you know, I'm not overly fond of Rubio, but my objections are on policy differences, not on his stepping up to the plate to take his swings out of the lineup order decided by the Republican Aristo good old boy club, you know. I'm sorry, this is not a time for good old boy politics. We need the best man at the plate right now, and I don't happen to think that's Rubio. Among the most important issues we face right now is getting the border under control, and he's an amnesty man. But anyway, I was going to point out some home runs made by our candidates in spite of the spitballs thrown by the media. And the spitball, by the way, is an illegal pitch. So you know what I mean. Let's start with Cruz. On a couple of occasions, Cruz worked his brilliant plans into the debate in spite of their efforts to get him talking about nonsense. I mean, really, why are we all not lining up behind Cruz? Listen to this. Becky Quick had asked Carson about his tax plan and pressed him with specifics. And it is too bad for Carson that he seems to waffle and wobble when he has to respond to specifics. He's great at the big picture, you know, great at the broad stroke outlines, but he gets lost when it comes to defending it in the details. But Cruz bailed him out. Cruz interjects, Becky, if you want a 10% flat tax where the numbers add up, I rolled out my tax plan today. You can find it online at tedcruz.org. It is a simple flat tax where for individuals, a family of four pays nothing on the first $36,000. Then he goes on to say, and after that, you pay 10% as a flat tax going up. He points out the billionaire and the working man. No hedge fund manager pays less than his secretary. On top of that, there is a business flat tax of 16%. Now, that applies universally to giant corporations that, with lobbyists right now, are not paying taxes, and to small businesses. And you wanted to know the numbers? The Tax Foundation, which has scored every one of our plans, shows that this plan will allow the economy to generate 4.9 million jobs, to raise wages over 12%, and to generate 14% growth. And it costs, with dynamic scoring, less than $1 trillion. Those are the hard numbers. And every single income decile sees a double-digit increase in after-tax income. It's funny that the MSM attempted recently to scorn the intelligence of the GOP candidates by impugning their level of language. Yet I'll bet most of these nincompoops can't explain what is an income decile. Deciles are used in statistical studies. Take, say, the Fortune 500 companies as an example of this, a list of the top earning companies in America. Organize them according to some variables, such as how much each company earns. And then take this list, organized by earnings, and divide it into groups of 10 companies each, coming from deca, meaning 10, which is in the word decile. You'll then have 50 deciles of 10 companies each. The first decile will have an average earnings of X, and the second decile will have an average earnings of Y, and so on. And the idea is to organize income data into these deciles in order to evaluate income inequality or differences and so on between the lowest and the other deciles. Now, Cruz's plan provides for a double-digit increase in after-tax income in every decile. Again, when Cruz is given an opportunity to speak to specific policy issues, he does a brilliant job. Unlike Trump, who it seems rarely can complete a sentence, or dear Carson, and I love him, but he seems to be treading water, barely able to keep his chin above the waterline when he's pressed for details about his plans. Or Kasich, who, you know, like a broken record, talks about how great Ohio's doing and how he will do that for America. Oh, brother. Or Carly, who also speaks in glittering generalities with stirring rhetoric about how good it can be again, and just let me add Hillary. Just let me add, I'll scratch your eyes out, you know. Okay, that was unfair. But really, she seems to think that the essential reason we should vote for her is because we can't wait to see that catfight. You know, and then the glittering generalities of America as it could be and the excitement of two women going at it in a political girl fight is just not enough reason to get my vote. But listen to Cruz. Santelli, by the way, I thought Santelli actually asked some pretty good questions. You know, the second string guys came in and did a decent job. Quote, Senator Cruz, let's focus on our central bank, the Federal Reserve. You've been a fierce critic of the Fed, arguing for more transparency. Where do you want to take that? Do you want to get Congress involved in monetary policy? Or is it time to slap the Fed back and downsize them completely? What are your thoughts? What do you believe? And then Cruz responds, well, Rick, it's a very important question. I have got deep concerns about the Fed. The first thing I think we need to do is audit the Fed. And I am an original co-sponsor of Rand Paul's Audit the Fed legislation. The second thing we need to do is I think we need to bring together a bipartisan commission to look at getting back to rules-based monetary policy. In this star chamber that has been engaging in this incredible experiment of quantitative easing, QE1, QE2, QE3, QE infinity. And the people who are being impacted, you know, a question that was asked earlier, Becky asked, was about working women. You know, it's interesting. You look at Wall Street, the Fed is doing great. It's driving up stock prices. Wall Street's doing great. You know, today the top 1% earn a higher share of our income than any year since 1928. But if you look at working men and women, if you look at a single mom buying groceries, she sees hamburger prices have gone up nearly 40%. She sees her cost of electricity going up. She sees her health insurance going up. And loose money is one of the major problems. We need sound money. And I think the Fed should get out of the business of trying to juice our economy and simply be focused on sound money and monetary stability, ideally tied to gold, in quote. Now, I think you can see what I mean here. Substantive, every time. And look, I don't mean to ignore Huckabee. I just, in show prep, I've got a limited amount of time, and I had to make a decision about which of these candidates seemed to me to have done the best job using what time they could get out of these interrogators, or I should say these inquisitors, to deliver a coherent, substantive statement of their answer to the issues we need addressed in this campaign in the next presidency, and Cruz won, hands down. But Huckabee did a great job. So did Rubio, by the way, and with what little time Rand Paul had, he did a good job. But a lot of the other candidates shined more in the way they schooled the media for the lousy job they were doing. And I mean, you know, Rubio's line about the Democrats having the, quote, ultimate super PAC, it's called the mainstream media, end quote, that was iconic. His shot at Hillary was on spot. But Cruz also schooled the media and, in fact, led the charge. And yet, also, he was able to produce some very substantive statements about what he will do as president. I'm afraid Rubio never did that. He defended well, but he didn't lay out any clear path for leading America back to greatness. Now, Trump talks about that all the time, but his plans have the smell of socialism. Yeah. And folks, I'm just coming up on my time. Okay, usually I would say something like, I'll get back to you next week on this, but you know, it always happens that by the time we get to next week, the ship of news has sailed on, my friend. So we'll see where we are with regard to that. But essentially, here's the takeaway from the debates so far. And I mean both the GOP and the DNC debates. You have the party of reason versus the party of treason. You have the DNC that will continue the treasonous policies of our current president alleged, with Sanders promising to make the focus of his presidency a campaign against Islamophobia. Good night. And then you've got the party of reason, the conservatives of the GOP, who are offering well-reasoned solutions to the problems created by the Bolsheviks and the Mensheviks. This Sunday night's Issachar Report will be another in my series, Taking America Back. Don't miss it. This Sunday night at 6 p.m. at the Lighthouse. Look for the Circling Lighthouse light on Betteravia, west of Skyway if you live south of Betteravia. And then for your orientation, if you're north of Betteravia, it would be west of Blosser, where Blosser and Skyway connect to Betteravia. I have lit the lamps in the church belfry arch, and now you call and let me know you see that they are on. Call 1-888-770-8000. That's 1-888-770-8000. And say, lights on if you agree with what I've said today, and lights off if you disagree. And someone asked once, can I say that they're blinking on and off? And yeah, you can say that too. But call me at 1-888-770-8000 and let me have a piece of your mind to chew on. I've certainly given you a chunk of mine to feast on. Or if you prefer to email me, go to our website at thebrainmassageshow.com. That's thebrainmassageshow.com. And when you call or when you write, if you want to attend the Lights On Banquet, let us know how many seats you want to reserve. And we'll get back to you to make the arrangements. God bless you. God save America. And I'll see you in church.
The Brain Massage Show ambassadors receive many special benefits, the greatest of which is the satisfaction of knowing they are part of a strong voice for truth and traditional American values. Bronze, silver, and gold ambassadors receive an audio CD of 4 Brain Massage shows each month. These are indexed so you can quickly navigate to the segment you want to hear again or show a friend. Silver and gold ambassadors also receive a copy of the transcript of the shows with supporting documentation. Gold ambassadors have the added privilege of being invited to join the Brain Masseurs Advisory Council. Interested? Call the Listener Response Hotline and ask about the Ambassador Program. An assistant will call you back to give you all the information you need. The number is 888-770-8000. That's 888-770-8000. For a complete brain massage experience, tune in Saturday at 12 noon